Hey, Kalamazoo, it's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. That means the Audio Beach is on the air. Wider's weekly movie news and reviews show. It's all about stuff happening in the entertainment industry, and we listen to a lot of music from the movies, as in that track we just listened to from Ratatouille.
Yes, as part of our ongoing series, as we build up the Academy Awards, which are this upcoming Sunday, we're listening to the Academy Award-nominated scores. That one by Michael Giacchino. We're going to talk a little bit more about him later.
And of course, there's also other things like movie reviews, and there'll be trivia, and I'm one of your hosts, Jake, and I'm sitting in here with...
Oh, I was just going to say, big show for you tonight. We've got two reviews.
Two?
Yes.
And I was going to mention Ben being here.
I am here.
Oh, yes, and big because Ben is here. Hello. Although, that makes our show big every
and
week.
And then I was going to give you a shout-out by announcing you, Zach, as the other host of the show.
Welcome, listening audience.
But you're too busy. You want to get to straight down to business. You don't want any of this fluff. You want
to business.
You want.
That's my favorite toast.
You want movie music, and then you want the tops of the box office, which we do every week at the top of the show. And this week, it was a pretty good weekend at the movies. It was cold and terrible outside, and people went to the movies.
You know, even though February is the traditional doldrum season, that along with like early fall, late August. If a movie makes itself big, it makes the weekend big. There are no, how's the old quote go?
There's no small movies, only small weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
No
small weekends, only small movies.
That's right.
That's what I was going for, to paraphrase Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. And it would have worked out great, too.
If only I'd done my prep for the show.
Where were you in rehearsal? Anyway, it was a great weekend at the movies. It was almost like a summer weekend, almost. We had Jumper, kind of an action movie. 20th Century Fox came in, opened.
Special four-day weekend. Well, President's Day weekend also.
President's Day. I was, traditionally I don't go out on President's Day weekend. I spend at home with my family. Singing President's Day carols, but
hail to the chief.
Jumper, over the whole, it opened, everything kind of opened early on Thursday with the Valentine's Day, but it opened
and
made 32 million for the weekend and 38 total over the, can't beat that with a stick. Spiderwick Chronicles, another great hope for the weekend, did all right for a lot of families now, $27 million, came in at number two.
This next one kind of surprises me. I mean, not too much.
Didn't Ben and I say that this movie was going to do well?
I didn't have huge hopes. I thought it
would
do
well. Or did Zach and I try to...
I think what I said last week was never underestimate this street dancing movie, because last time I did, Stomp the Yard came in at number one.
I thought the streak had to end eventually, and I thought it might end to
step up
to the streets.
Step up to the streets.
Or as step up to the streets.
Yeah. Where there's the streets and you step up to them.
Did I just make myself seem like a real fuddy?
No, you said it correctly.
You said it correctly. We just like to say it funky.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how we roll.
I'm still cool. $22 million for Step Up to the Streets. Fool's Gold, which had a great weekend last week, came in number four. And debuting in the top five slot, Definitely Maybe, which I thought would do a little better given the
romantic
nature of President's Day that a lot of people would... Go out and check this one out.
I think it did as well as it would.
And I heard some weirdly good things about it. Ryan Reynolds, movie news moment, has been
Are they finally making the movie version of Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Yes. No, but just announced, yesterday, it's been leaked that Ryan Reynolds will be playing a cameo role in the Wolverine movie.
Really?
What do you know? As his character from Blade Trinity? Hannibal King?
Is it Deadpool?
Oh, Deadpool, huh?
That's good casting.
Yeah, that is good casting.
Anyway, that's the hot tip from Hollywood. Number six, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Number seven, Juno. It's the first week in several weeks that Juno has climbed a spot. It drops down to this week. But I'm sure with Oscar...
Right.
This weekend, it may pick up some steam next weekend.
Still the highest grossing Oscar nominee for Best Picture.
The Bucket List, number eight, Hannah Montana. And Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds, drops down to number 9. Steam is running out.
You think its extensions have run out? It was supposed to be 1 week only, then it was 2 weeks, now it went into its third.
I think it's ready to hang up the headset. But 27 Dresses rounds out the top 10.
Okay, as we said at the top of the show, we've got our special Build Up to the Academy Awards.
Yay.
Which is this upcoming weekend. And as part of that, we listen traditionally to the scores of the nominees for Best Original Score. And this week we're taking a listen to the work of Michael Giacchino, who, despite being a young composer, has already established himself as one of the most talented. He got his start in video games, doing such titles as Medal of Honor, and made his way into television, doing stuff like Lost and Alias and other such stuff for his longtime collaborator,
J.J. Abrams.
I'm so used to thinking
Line.
He had he used to be called go by his full name instead of J.J., and it always throws me off.
You know him as his full name.
Well, he was a Hollywood screenwriter before he ever became prolific in television, and now in the movies again. And speaking of which,
his original name, Joe Jaina.
Michael Giacchino will be scoring his upcoming adaptation of Star Trek, and actually did the title track for Cloverfield. But of course, he's probably best known for his work on The Incredibles, and we're going to listen to his work on Ratatouille, which he was nominated for an Academy Award, a little bit of The Incredibles, and even one from his score to Mission Impossible 3.
Hmm. You know what's crazy about him?
What's that?
Still scoring Lost.
He's a prolific guy.
That's a lot of work.
Yes. Well, we're gonna start it off. Speaking of eating, we're gonna start off with Cast of Cooks from Ratatouille. We're back on the Audio Bijou with more of our build up to the Academy Awards, which are this upcoming Sunday. And in honor of them, we have yet another Academy Award related screen test trivia question for this week. This one, I thought we'd take a look at the women of the Academy Awards. Let's face it, Hillary Clinton's kind of shown us that women can run for president, no matter how foolish that seems. And they have also made great strides in winning Academy Awards. And one in particular has even tied the record for number of wins in a single evening. The record stands at 3 for number of Academy Awards a single person has won in a single night. And one woman has tied that record. Mm-hmm. And for tonight's question, we ask you, who was that woman?
I don't know, but I know.
We're going to do multiple choice this week.
Oh, I see.
Good.
Yeah, it's a tough one, I think, so I thought I'd throw out the A, B, C, D.
I was going to disguise the fact that I don't know by saying that I know that women hold the record for youngest winner and shortest amount of screen time for a winner.
You know, it's always best when you don't know to bring up other knowledge to show that you still know other things.
That's what I think. People are like, boy, he sure knows a lot about the Oscars.
Yes.
And then I pawn this question off on Ben.
Here are your options. Grab the Scantron and the number two pencil. Is the woman who holds the most records for single wins for most wins in a single year A, Sofia Coppola, B, Jodie Foster, C, Nancy Myers, D, Fran Walsh, or E, Meryl Streep? Your options again.
Interesting.
Jodie Foster, Sofia Coppola, Nancy Myers, Meryl Streep, or Fran Walsh.
Women also hold the record for the youngest nominee.
You're just a wealth of knowledge. You're a fountainhead of knowledge here.
Don't I know a lot?
You do. Well, I bet you know the answer to this.
If you don't know the answer to this question, don't fear. We'll have it for you before the end of tonight's show. Up next, some more Michael Giacchino and more Ratatouille with Colette Shows Him the Ropes. Stay tuned. We'll be back with What's New to Theaters this upcoming Friday. We're back, and it's time to look at what's coming to theaters this upcoming Friday. I should interject that you were just listening to Colette Shows Him the Ropes, not Call It.
Yeah.
Like I said before the break.
Call It's how we say it in America.
Call It makes some freedom fries.
Call It eats a croissant sandwich.
Okay, well, starting off our list of movies opening this upcoming Friday is Vantage Point. It tells five different points of view of a assassination attempt on the President of the United States. It's got quite an impressive cast, including Dennis Quaid, Forrest Whitaker, Matthew Fox, among others, and is told in 15-minute Rashomon-style snippets where gradually the storyline comes together through flashback and a kind of unique and unorthodox editing style. So I don't see why this didn't open President's Day weekend, though, to celebrate the president.
I know.
Within a movie that depicts an attempt on the president's life.
I've seen the trailers. He looks like a jerk president.
William Hurt for president? I don't know. It's been a kind of a tough year for bald guys trying to be president, so I don't know.
Nobody wants to see a movie about a jerk president.
You know, the trailer makes it appear as though there is a duplicate president. Which reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Moon Over Peridot.
Oh, I was going to say Dave.
Oh, Dave is such a Moon Over Peridot ripoff. Go back and watch it, and you'll see.
Oh, I know. Isn't that Richard Dreyfuss?
It was.
Who also played a presidential candidate and the American president?
It's true.
It's
6 degrees of...
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, and vantage point.
Why don't you move on to Charlie Bartlett?
I'm going to move on next to Be Kind Rewind.
Ah.
I hope you're saying this is opening wide.
It is opening wide. It's the second time that director and auteur Michel Gondry has written a script he himself directs. And this one sees Jack Black playing a man who attacks a local power plant only to have his brain magnetized. And that kind of conflicts with his job at the video store because he accidentally erases all the tapes. This kind of upsets the store's most loyal renter, an old woman who's starting to get dementia. And so in order to kind of keep her coming and renting, he and his best friend, played by Mos Def, go out and reenact the movies that they sell and record them, recreating such classics as Ghostbusters and
Rush Hour 2.
Among others.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah. What can I say about this other than that I love Michel Gondry even when it's in such things as Signs of Sleep?
This premise sounds like a little too cartoony. I really hope it's not.
It's just the sort of thing where like I give him credit that I think only somebody like Michel Gondry could make it work. Like,
pull this off.
When you hear about a movie like that, and you know, it was like, you know, made by Brett Ratner, you'd be like, yeah. But like, you know, Michel Gondry, the name alone with that concept, I'm like, I bet he can do it.
Still, on some level, don't you wish that Charlie Kaufman was involved?
I don't know. Yeah. I think Charlie Kaufman.
Or Spike Jones.
Charlie Kaufman has a tendency to be kind of a downer sometimes. So, I don't know. This seems more like a lighthearted. Well, don't forget, he also did Dave Chappelle's Block Party.
That's true.
And I think this, from what I'm reading, is kind of like the Block Party inspired him to want to do something more as light and fun hearted. In fact, the Mos Def character was. He wanted to be.
Written for Mos Def, probably?
No, it was written for Chappelle.
Really?
But Chappelle backed out.
Yeah,
so. Once he found out that Michel Gondry, you know, doing a Rubik's Cube blindfolded is a total lie.
It's a trick.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled, YouTube viewers. But
I think this movie's going to be very Jack Black, you know, and I think it's going to be
totally... I hope it's not too Jack Black.
Totally crazy and could be fun.
Yeah. Well, regardless, I'm sure that the crowd here on the Audio Bijou will be anxious to go see it. Our next movie is Charlie Bartlett. And it sees newcomer Anton Yelchin, not really much of a newcomer, but it's the first time he's headlined a movie, playing a young man who bounces from private school to public school, only to find himself not able to fit in until he comes upon the idea of playing therapist for all his fellow classmates. He himself attends therapy and uses his access to his therapist as a way to get prescriptions for all the kids and what ails them and give them advice and become the school's savior through pharmacology and new agey advice.
Is it me or does it seem like a companion piece to Running with Scissors for some reason?
It does kind of have all of those overtones because it's got the strong emphasis on therapy, muddled family life. I should mention that Hope Davis and Robert Downey Jr. co-star in this
one. There's some other movie that is somewhat similarly titled or has like a character that seems somewhat similar to that.
Charlie Wilson's War?
No, not that. But it just came out on DVD recently. And I keep thinking that this is it. Like, I thought this movie came out a year ago.
You know what? They have been advertising it for close to a year. Its release date's been pushed back a couple times. Yeah. Which is always a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
Our last movie for the evening. Speaking of a bad sign.
Oh. We can skip over this.
Come on.
Is Witless Protection. Larry the Cable Guy, in all his glory, plays a small-town sheriff's deputy who happens upon some federal agents escorting a woman under witness protection and mistakes her for being kidnapped, and so he rescues her, only to find himself trailed by the FBI and the International Crime Syndicate out to kill her. Jenny McCarthy co-stars, along with, very unfortunately... And I'm sad for them. Yaphet Kotto is in this. Darn it, there was one other guy I was really sad for. And now I can't, I'm so sad I can't even come up with his name. But anyway, yeah, Yaphet Kotto, poor guy. He used to be a Bond villain, for Pete's sake.
I thought he was dead.
He used to be on Homicide, Life on the Streets.
Maybe that's why I thought he was dead.
Anyway.
Were you sad for Larry the Cable Guy? You're like, I thought he was doing so well. I loved him in Pixar's Cars.
He was so good as Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector and Delta Farce.
Yeah, this is really makes a great... He's completing the trilogy of sucky movies.
I don't think it's a trilogy.
He's going to have one more, though, because Delta Farce and Witless Protection both have, like, those, ha-ha, this is a comedy title. He needs another one.
It's true. What he really needs to do is study the career of Pauly Shore and, you know, take it from there.
Yes. Well, that does it for movies opening in wide release this upcoming Friday. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what's coming out on DVD today and have another chance at tonight's screen test trivia question when we return. You're listening to Audio Bijou on 89.1 FM, Kalamazoo. That was Academy Award nominee for this year for Ratatouille with his score to The Incredibles. That title was called Off to Work. And now we're back with what's new to DVD, and with that we go to Ben.
We got a fairly big week this week, and I'm wearing a t-shirt for our number one DVD of the week. It's American Gangster. starring Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Josh Brolin, amongst others. And you can pick that up in, I think, multiple editions.
Yeah.
Two and three disc editions, and there's, like, all sorts of other cross promotions with other gangster.
Before we get too far into the releases, I think we should relate some big news in DVD today, and that is that Toshiba has finally decided to give up the ghost on HD DVD, making Blu-ray the clear winner in the high-definition format wars. And, of course, the consumer, the ultimate loser, because if there's no competition, let's face it, prices are going to go up.
I think there is competition. It's called normal DVD, and who that, gives a crap?
That is true. But, yeah, I think the days of the $100 or $150 HD player are gone the way of the dodo.
Well, here's a couple more.
They'll be back.
Yeah.
Here's a couple more movies you can pick up on normal DVD, or if you so choose, those high-definition formats. We've also got one of our favorite movies of the year, Michael Clayton.
Oh, yeah, Academy nominee for
all sorts of things. George Clooney, Tilda Swinton, and Tom Wilkinson, all three nominated for Oscars this Sunday. Another Oscar hopeful, In the Valley of Elah, with nominee Tommy Lee Jones. Also stars Charlize Theron, Susan Sarandon, and James Franco. Written and directed by Paul Haggis, that one.
Mm-hmm. Academy Award winner.
I believe. Also, Rendition. This is a very Iraq war themed week of releases. We got Rendition with Jake Gyllenhaal, Reese Witherspoon, Meryl Streep, and Alan Arkin, and Redacted, Brian De Palma's Iraq War.
That one got very muddled reviews, from what I understand. We did not actually review it here on the show.
I don't think it came nearby. It got a very, very limited release, as far as I recall.
Kind of buried.
Yep. Another buried movie, Lust Caution, Ang Lee's NC-17.
Right. This was an official entry into Cannes and actually got some good feedback. But in its homeland of China, it was actually censored.
Yeah. Well, you can get the NC-17 or the R-rated versions today. And finally, we've got Margot at the Wedding, starring Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Jack Black. In the category I like to call Was That in Theaters, we've got Poor Boy's Game.
I'm going to say no.
With Danny Glover.
That was not in theaters.
I don't think so either. And Chaos with Jason Statham, Ryan Phillippe, and Wesley Snipes.
Is that Chaos with a K?
No, but the CH.
I know that one was not in theaters.
I know. You know how you know? Wesley Snipes. That right there drags it down to direct to DVD.
If it came out in theaters, they might the government might be able to track him down.
Yeah, he filmed that one from Africa along with those others. And the direct to DVD, we've got Catacombs, starring Alicia Pink Moore. That's right, Pink.
Oh, and she has a real name?
Yeah, apparently. Although Amazon.com doesn't know it, I wouldn't tell them because they bill Pink, Alicia Pink Moore, and Alicia Moore. Are all starring in this.
In all three roles, kind of like a Peter Sellers type shenanigans.
And that one also has
She should just change her last name to Pinkmore.
Pinkmore. well, that's also got Shannon Sossaman. In the classic issue, we've got Les Miserables Special Edition and Walker Special Edition. Which brings me to
TV on DVD. That's not Texas and Ranger, is
no,
it?
No, that brings me to TV on DVD. This
and
is
the T-shirt I'm
week.
Wearing in, you know...
Very confusing week. TV on DVD, we've got Walker, Texas Ranger, Season 4.
Okay, so I actually make sure you ask for the right thing if you're interested in either of those titles.
When noting these down, I crossed off Walker Special Edition at first because I thought they're just like misprinting that one.
There's a movie called
Walker.
Any edition of Walker, Texas Ranger is a special edition in my book.
Yeah, I actually think Season 4 was the roundhouse kickinest.
We've also got He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, the new series, Volume 1, Coach Season 3, Dragon Ball Z Season 4. That's right, there were seasons.
Huh.
And Cops, 20th Anniversary Edition. 20 years of Cops.
Whatcha
is that the
do?
Cartoon show or nope. Is that the Fox show?
I would have said COPS.
Okay.
Fighting Crime in Future Time, if that was it.
All right. Well, that does it for our DVD releases for this week. Stay tuned. We'll have another chance at our screen test trivia question up next. But first, we've got another entry from Michael Giacchino and his Oscar-nominated score to Ratatouille. This is Remy Drives a Linguini. Welcome back to more of our show as we get ready for the Oscars this upcoming Sunday. And
for a second, I forgot we're going back to trivia. I thought we were going straight to Jumper, and you were playing Oscar music for that.
They wish.
That's what I was laughing about.
No, I'm not jumping to Jumper quite yet. Wasn't that a good transition?
No.
No? Okay. Well, in honor of the Academy Awards, for tonight's screen test trivia question, we look at the role of women in the Academy Awards. Long maligned as the weaker sex, they've come a long way, baby, and become the ones who actually garner almost as many nominations as their male counterparts. And the record for 3 wins in a single year has actually been tied by a woman. Which of the following women holds the record of having 3 wins in a single year? Is it Jodie Foster, Sofia Coppola, Nancy Myers, Fran Walsh, or Meryl Streep? If you don't know, don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll have the answer for you before the end of tonight's show. Before we get to that, though, we've got a couple of reviews for you and more of Michael Giacchino, including our next song, which is the main theme from Ratatouille, his Academy Award-nominated score. We're back with our critique of the week, and for this week, we're taking a look at Jumper, the latest from director Doug Liman and his collaboration with screenwriter David S. Goyer. It sees Hayden Christensen playing a young man named David Rice, who discovers at a young age the ability to teleport, or jump, instantaneously from place to place. While this talent initially gains him wealth and independence, he soon finds himself hunted by a mysterious group called the Paladins, led by the white-haired Samuel L. Jackson.
He's the world's greatest.
Yes. Yes. He's don't make me low,
man.
Sorry.
Yes, also starring in this movie is Jamie Bell, Diane Lane has a small role, and Rachel Bilson plays the girl.
The girl?
Yes, the girl. You know, the girl part.
That's a good description.
You know how it is in these movies? There's like the main character, and then there's the girl, and we all know what her role is. It's like, you know, she's the love interest. She's there to get girl butts in seats. Say, hey, this movie's not all about action. Hey, there's a romance here.
They were pushing that angle quite a bit, too, on the old TV.
Well, you know, for President's Day / Valentine's weekend, they had to, right?
Yep.
Now, this movie, I felt, had quite a bit of good escapist fun in its high concept idea of, you know, being able to instantaneously move from place to place. But I felt its biggest limitation is that it kind of gets caught up in its own mythology and only barely introduces that. I know this has been said to have been part of a planned trilogy should the box office go well, and it looks as though it may have.
Do you feel you actually feel like I got caught up too much in the mythology? Because I think a lot of science fiction movies can get caught up more, and you get like way too much of their own terminology, scenarios, you know.
Well, I think we did a little bit because, you know, it ends on the note of Paladin versus Jumper.
Yeah.
And
but that's,
know,
the concept of the movie. I mean,
to an extent.
I think they could have gone into it a lot more than they actually did, and I was thankful for that. I mean, they might in the next two movies, but if they do them.
Yeah, if they do them. You almost get the hint that they are because
they
Diane Lane, you know, you don't pay for an actress like that and then only have her in a small of a capacity as she was.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart, kind of an up-and-comer.
She's been enough.
She also has a blink and you miss it role, which, you know, she's the type of actress who, you know, usually commands a meatier role.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us to what I thought was probably the biggest fault of this movie is that it felt like a trailer for the next two. You keep waiting for the meat of it, and it never gets into it.
Now, speaking of meat and getting into it, how did you feel?
I don't like where that's
going. That doesn't sound right. But, you know, Hayden Christensen's character and to an extent his acting, I felt, you know, for a guy who should have a lot more depth to him, didn't really feel like a very deep character.
I don't know if you can really do that with a movie like this. I was thinking about that a lot. Because, you know, you get the criticism of his acting or, like, other people's acting in science fiction movies or comic book movies. And I feel sometimes the character overtakes the actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really, I mean, like, how seriously can you take a guy in spandex in a comic book movie?
Yeah.
No matter what he says, it's still, you know, for the most part. I mean, like even Batman Begins, which is a, you know, a great movie, you still really can't look at some of those acting jobs and think, you know, that's great acting. I mean, it's a character. It's a great character and a great portrayal, but not necessarily. Anyway, I think he fits the character.
Yeah. If you've seen the trailer, you know his character kind of uses his power initially just to be, you know, kind of a globetrotting, you know, college kid. He hops from place to place, grabs a few drinks. Basically, he would be a trust fund kid, except for that his trust fund was stolen and his, you know, ability to jet set around the world is thanks to some mutant power. But
one thing I kind of didn't like that they hinted at a little bit, and luckily didn't play up too much, is they kind of make him more of, once again, the chosen one a little bit. Like, he seems to have
more
power.
He's Hayden Christensen. How can he not be the chosen one?
He seems to have more power than the other jumpers.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it's played out, that idea. It'd be more interesting if he was just a character caught up in it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, we here on the Audio Bijou have a rating scale of 0 to 5 thumbs up. What do you rate Jumper at?
It was a fun movie. I mean, I do look forward if they do make two more. I wish this one had been more of a complete movie on its own in terms of the story, but I give it a 3.5.
I'm gonna say forgettable escapist fun that has a good concept. I'm gonna give it 3 thumbs up. Worth a trip to the Cineplex for. Okay, well, our review of U2 3D will have to wait till next week as we're just about out of time, but we will come back with some of our predictions for the Academy Awards this upcoming Sunday, so you want to stay tuned for that. Up next, another track from Michael Giacchino. This is from his score to Mission Impossible 3, where he kind of does his own take on Lalo Schifrin's classic theme. We'll be right back. That was Academy Award nominee Michael Giacchino with his entry for his longtime collaborator J.J. Abrams' Mission Impossible 3. And before we leave you tonight, we have to give you, of course, the answer to tonight's screen test trivia question, which comes to us from the Oscars. Which woman holds the record for the most wins in a single year? Was it Jodie Foster, Sofia Coppola, Nancy Meyers, Meryl Streep, or Fran Walsh?
Jacob, do you actually have a guess?
Ben, I've thrown out so much Oscar trivia.
I say Fran Walsh with The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it was the Lord of the Rings music I was playing.
That
was
I didn't actually hear that, but
good clue.
Obviously she wrote, you know, did a bunch of the...
Yes,
producing.
The year Return of the King won, it not only broke records in that it won every category it was nominated in, which was 11, which ties the record, not only for most wins, but also, you know, no defeats. Mm-hmm. It also won for having the woman with the most wins in a single night. It was Fran Walsh. She won 3 Oscars, 1 for Best Picture, 1 for Adapted Screenplay, and 1 for Best Original Song. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Oscars, they are this upcoming Sunday, so before we leave you, I thought we'd offer some of our last-minute predictions. Gentlemen, what do you think are going to be some of the things we'll see this upcoming weekend?
Jon Stewart telling jokes about the presidential election?
Probably.
That's not a prediction.
I'm going to say...
A prediction.
My prediction, Ratatouille sweeps all its nominations.
I think Ratatouille is going to be a big winner, but...
If I had my druthers, I think Michael Clayton would win.
Yeah.
He should win, but I have a feeling a lot of the categories No Country for Old Men is nominated and will be victorious.
I'm going to go off on a limb. I'm going to predict director picture split. Coen Brothers win for best director, but don't win for best picture.
What do you think best picture?
Atonement.
Really?
Yes. I'm going off on a ledge there. We'll see. I'll have egg on my face next Tuesday, but we'll see. Anyway,
we got for special effects Transformers.
yeah, best makeup Norbert.
Nah, it's not his year.
Yeah.
Do you think Kate Blanchett will win in either category?
She might have a shot at best actress. I don't think Elizabeth will win her best. Or best supporting act, but I don't think she'll win best actress for Elizabeth. Even though I love her as an actress. That movie just didn't hold up to the original one.
Yeah, I think she could pick up her second best supporting.
No? We're getting no from Blues Power. Speaking of which, you want to stay tuned because it's up next. The best 2 hours of blues you'll hear here in Kalamazoo with host Mike Ireland. In case you missed any part of our show tonight, you can be sure and check us out on the web. Our podcast is available via our website. You can get the link via wider.org or just do a Google search for Audio Bijou. Taking us out tonight, a song I felt kind of got robbed in the Best Original Song nominations, but what can you do? It's our last pick from Ratatouille, and it is a song called Les Festines, performed by Camille.
Hmm.
So, here it is.
Les rêves des amoureux sont comme le bon vin. Ils donnent de la joie ou bien du chagrin. Affaibli par la faim, je suis malheureux. Pas longtemps chemin, tout ce que je peux. Car rien n'est gratuit dans la vie. L'espoir est un plat bien trop vite consommé. À sauter les repas, je suis à...